John chapter number 15 this morning. So if you'll take your Bibles with me to John chapter number 15. We'll take a look at it real quickly this morning, and I'll get you out of here. John chapter number 15. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'll read down several verses, and we'll try to grab some context and get us in the right place. Can't just take verses and pull them out of Scripture. So we'll try to get us into the right spot, right place, and we'll try to learn something this morning, all right? Amen. How many of you found John chapter number 15? All right, if you have a hard time finding the book of John, just look up on the screens and we will help you out, all right? John 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine. I like it when I like it when Jesus just lets us know who he is. I like it when he pulls the I ams, all right? I am the door, I am the bread. I am the shepherd, and here he is, I am the true vine. He goes on, he says, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me. Everybody see that? That's important. That little in me right there is very important, all right? Because when God deals with us, when he talks to us about salvation, and when we talk about the believer is found in Christ. That's a term throughout your Bible, in Christ, or throughout the New Testament, in Christ. It is a designation of a believer. They are in Christ. So when Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, we got, everybody all right? We got to perk up. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth, say it with me, more fruit. Bible goes on in verse number 3 and it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now this sounds very familiar. As if you do your Bible studies, you'll know in John chapter number 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. How many of y'all remember that? And God told Simon Peter, and Simon Peter said, oh, no, you're not going to wash me. And Jesus said, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. So Simon Peter said, well, wash me, wash everything, my head, all of it. He said, he that has been washed needs not to be washed again, saveth his feet. All right? So something just to think about and keep in the back of our mind. This is the same, listen to me, by context, we ain't very far from John chapter number 13. Everybody with me? In John chapter number 14, in the very last verse of the Bible, or the very, very last verse of the chapter rather, it says this at the very end of it, arise, let us go hence. So up until John chapter number 15 and verse number 1, we were still in the upper room. Everybody all right? We ain't far from John 13, okay? All right, so up until this point, we're right here. We're right here together. All the disciples are with Jesus. He just washed their feet. Judas has been sent out to do the work that he is going to do for Satan. And here they are now headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says in verse number 4, abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Is everybody with me? This means yes. All right. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't do it alone. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus has then identified himself as the vine in the very first verse. Now he'll do it again. I am, verse number 5, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Everybody say that with me. Ye are the branches. All right? He that abideth in me, and I in him. Ain't that good? That lets us know He's in us. But now there's an obligation for us to abide. The same bringeth forth much fruit. We have gone from bearing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I ain't teaching you lose your salvation. This ain't got nothing to do. This passage of scripture in context has got nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with them being fruitful. All right, stay with me. A lot of people want to turn this thing into a salvation. This is not what he's talking about right here. All right. Matter of fact, we could couple it with 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in verses 11 through 15, where it talks about our works will be tried by fire. Those things that are gold, silver, and precious stones are purified by the fire, and the wood, hay, and stubble is burned up. Greater foundation can no man lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ, the vine. Is everybody with me? Y'all staying with me? I mean, I know we're going back and forth between scripture, but I mean, it's all together. The Bible says, and if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a pretty good promise. I can get my prayers answered by abiding in Christ. Verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified. Now that's why we're here. That's why we're here, is to glorify God. That is why you and I exist, is to glorify God. Is everybody with me? So we got to listen. Herein is my Father glorified. How can I glorify God? If that's my purpose and that's what I'm supposed to do, how can I do that? That you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Boy, we like that. We like that. But he addressed that all the way back in the first verse. If you go back in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that Israel was the vine and God was the owner of the vineyard. Jesus, man, he messes that all up. He says, I'm the vine. Israel, she'd been replaced. Y'all stay with me. Israel's been replaced. He says, I'm the vine. And he said, the Father is a husbandman, which means he's the vine dresser. He's the one that takes care of the vine. And so as God has taken care of Jesus, and wouldn't you say he did a pretty good job of that? He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He said the same way the Father has loved me and provided for me and protected me. He said the same way I love you. He says this, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How do I abide in him? Thank you. I got one person in church listening. All right, y'all stay with me. I'm going to walk around. I might just come sit down next to you. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. I don't know about you, but I like that whole joy thing. I like that whole joy thing. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Verse number 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now we could spend all morning right here on this one verse because you don't love the brethren like you ought to. Amen. I don't either. I'm just being honest. Y'all tell the truth. We don't love the brethren like we ought to. And so Jesus says in verse number 13, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is letting them know what he's fixing to do, how his love is. Verse number 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What did he command us to do? Love one another and to keep his commandments. Is everybody with me? Looking at this passage of scripture, and I've seen a few things that I believe we can pull out of this and that will help us in our spiritual walk. Now we are going to make this, and we are going to get to this, because I believe every passage of scripture ought to make a beeline for the cross. So there is going to be a salvation message in this. But at the same time, most of you, if I tell y'all that to begin with, y'all just turn it off, and then y'all are like, oh, this ain't for me. But Jesus is talking to his disciples right here. And he's telling them, he's giving them, if you will, his last will and testament before the cross. See, in just a few hours, we'll have gone through him praying, as it were, sweat drops of blood in the garden, to him being taken prisoner, to him being thrown in a pit overnight, to him going through multiple trials, to him being charged with a crime, hung on a cross, and dying in just a few hours. Is everybody with me? Less than 24 hours, and he'll be on a cross. And this is what he's telling the disciples. He's saying that, hey, I'm fixing to leave. Greater love had no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friend. He's telling them in no uncertain words, hey, I'm fixing to leave. But he's telling them that I won't be gone. I got to go do something, but it's not the end. Because he tells them, even though I must die, he says, if you abide in me, you have life. Y'all stay with me. Come on, get with me this morning. Everybody here? If you're here, say amen. Amen. If you know you're here, say amen. Amen. That's something we might want to talk about. Jesus is telling them to abide in him. But we have such a problem doing that. I need somebody to help me. We have such a problem doing that. We like to talk about it. We like to act. Can I do an illustration? Jesse, come be Jesus. Come be Jesus, Jesse. Come on down here and be Jesus, Jesse. Come on, Dalton. Come on, Nick. Come be. I don't know. Good Christian, bad Christian. Come on, Jesse. Huh? Jesse, stand right here, man, right in the middle. Man, I was thinking about this thing. Come on, y'all got to get connected to Jesus, man. Go abide in him. Jesse said, 6 feet. 6 feet. I was thinking about this. Maybe it's bad. It might be bad. But I was thinking about it in terms of a tree. How many of y'all has ever seen an orange tree? Why are you taking pictures? Oh, I got you. You got to be careful around here. They'd be using it against you in a court of law. So, we've all seen a fruit tree. I was thinking about this. Have you ever seen a fruit tree lose a limb? It doesn't continue to grow fruit. Stay with me. So, Jesus said, I am the vine. He says, if you abide in me, and I in you, he says you're going to bear fruit. All right? So as long as I'm connected, this is what he's teaching the disciples. As long as you stay connected, come here, Casey kids. Come on. Come on up here. Come on around. Come on. Y'all doing good. As long as you're connected, you're going to bear fruit. Come be the fruit. You're Dalton's fruit. You go be Nick's fruit. All right. Man, hook up. There we go. Here's where most Christians are today. Sunday, we're connected. Sunday, we are tapped in. We are excited about the possibility of fruit. And so we are tapped in. We are all in on Sunday morning when it comes to abiding in Christ. But come Monday morning, I need you, y'all get unhooked now. On Monday morning, the branch is running around away from the tree. And the super spiritual Christian that made it through Monday, Tuesday comes along. Oh no, she said. And they done, everybody with me? And we're wondering why fruit is not evident in our life. And the reason that fruit is not evident in our life is because we aren't connected to the vine. And as long as we're not connected to the vine, Jesus said we will not bear fruit. We cannot bear fruit. So I asked the question, is it enough just to be connected to the vine on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday night? And I done messed some of you up because you won't come on Sunday and you won't come on Wednesday. Is everybody all right? I'm hiding behind Jesus. Under fire. Y'all see why I picked Big Jesus. Profiling. So, according to Christ, the correct procedure for bearing fruit in our life, and I ain't talking about just bringing others to Christ. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, meekness, love, all these things that Jesus instructs us to do, is only found when we are connected to the vine. We got branches running around over here wondering why in the world they ain't. Why can't my Christian life get off the ground? Why am I struggling all the time? I need somebody to help me. Run on out there, limb. We get farther and farther away from Christ and wondering why in the world ain't I bearing fruit? Why is it in my Christian walk? Why ain't I maturing anymore? Because we running around. I need somebody to help me. We running around Monday and Tuesday disconnected. Hey, it's Wednesday night. Run, go hook up. Hook up. Hurry. It's Wednesday night. Praise God. Put your hand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's Wednesday night. I'm hooked up with Jesus on Wednesday night. Thursday. Oh, man. Thursday's rough. Friday gets... Tell him, Nick. Friday's bad. Y'all see Nick? My man done picked up on this thing quick. Saturday. Look at him. Woo. Saturday, hey, out of sight, out of mind, baby. Sunday morning, Sunday morning. Hurry, hurry, we gotta get hooked up. Gotta get hooked up. Woo! Raise your hand. Praise God. Thank y'all. That was better than I didn't even plan that. You the man, Nick. Why are we struggling in our Christian walk? The illustration that I just gave you, many Christians are living out every single week. Why am I having such a hard time, preacher? Why is it such a struggle? Why is it such a hard time? Why doesn't come easy for me? It doesn't this, it doesn't that, because you ain't hooked up. You're not connected. And Jesus said, hey, I am the vine. Israel is not. Now say, what's the importance of that? I want you to notice his pronouncing of identities. He tells us that now he is the vine. And the Father is the vine dresser and we are the branches. Now what's significant about that is this. Our identity is to be found in Christ, not in religion. This is what he's telling them. The Old Testament told them that Israel and Judaism was the way that they stayed connected with God. Now Jesus is telling them, hey, you got to throw that out because now I am the vine. My Father is a vine dresser. He's the one that takes care of me. And as he has taken care of me, I'm going to take care of you. If ye abide in me, not in religious ceremonies, not in religious organizations, but if you abide in me. So Jesus sets it all straight. And says, hey, this is something that, could you imagine now for you and I, we've heard this kind of preaching before. We've heard preaching on the vine and we know that Jesus is the vine, so it ain't no big deal to us. But for them who has studied the Old Testament and who knows that Israel is that vine in the Old Testament, now all of a sudden Jesus is changing that all around. I like a passage of scripture. I know you do. Isaiah chapter number 53. I want you to listen to this verse. In verse number 2, it says, for he shall grow up before him. That's talking about Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I say, well, what does that verse got to do with anything? God is telling us 700 years before Jesus come that Jesus would come out of a dry ground, Israel. He would grow up a tender plant, the vine. Is that, y'all with me? I mean, we were told this 700 years before Jesus ever came. You and I were told that he was coming and he would be that vine that would take over in the dry land. And now Jesus, for us, it ain't no big deal. We've heard this preaching before, but for these guys, it was like, whoa, wait a minute now. And Jesus said, I am the vine. He's letting them know in this chapter, he's going to die for them. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's letting them know that he has loved them, and he has loved them greater than anybody has ever loved them. He is going to die for them. And the only way that they're going to have abundant life is if they abide in him and him in them. We see his pronouncing of identities. We see his passion for increase. As I've already pointed out, we go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. How do we glorify God? Somebody help me. Don't all speak at one time. How do we glorify God? By bearing fruit. You and I glorify God. Did we not read that? I need some help. Y'all help me out. Did we not read that? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Your advancement in your Christian walk is expected. But it's impossible detached from him. Come on, y'all, help me. I know this ain't the preaching we want to hear this morning. We want to hear that it's all right and we can just live our lives and do whatever we want to and just go about doing things as we want to and show up on Sunday, get connected. Woo! Praise the Lord. Disconnect on Monday, live our life, come back in on Wednesday night possibly. Woo! Disconnect on Thursday, run, go do our thing. Woo! Come rolling back in on Sunday. Come on, y'all. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And you can't bear much fruit if you're disconnected. Abide in me, and I in you. And he said, and if you'll do this, you'll bear much fruit. We see his process of improvement. I like this. You ain't, but I like it. Verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now, you look at that verse and you think, oh my goodness, he's going to take away my salvation. But that word that is used right there and that is translated taketh away also has a meaning of lifting up. The vines in biblical times would grow across the ground and they would take rocks and they would lay the vines up on the rocks to get them off of the dirt. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, let's read it with that thought in mind. He taketh away that verb, he lifts it up. He lifts it up out of that's hindering it. We ain't to the verse where we've gotten rid of the vines that are unproductive. He's saying that if it's not bearing fruit, I'm going to do everything I can to help it. And so he taketh away or he lifts up and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. Now for most of us, that means we thought, oh man, he's going to clip it, cut it, get it out of the way. But that ain't what that word means. That word purges right there literally means he cleanses it. He cleanses it. He lifts it up. He cleans it that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, how in the world does he cleanse it? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you go to the very next verse, here we go. Very next verse. Now you are clean through the what? Word, which I have spoken to you. And so the process that you and I go through so that we can have increase is that God lifts us up. He comes to us on a Sunday morning after the choir sang and the preacher gets up and preaches John 15. He comes to us and lifts us up and say, hey, I'm not going to let you remain unproductive. He cleanses us through his so that you and I might be able to bear. Man, and it just seems like it's just, is it preaching itself? I mean, is it not just preaching itself? He's given us another opportunity. Some of y'all need a second chance. Some of you need a second chance. Some of you are struggling through life and wondering why in the world, am I saved? Am I not saved? And the reason that you're wondering that is because you're not hooked up. And you've never had any fruit in your life. Because see, if you get hooked up, you can't do anything but bear fruit. I need somebody to help me. You can't do anything but bear fruit. You're not going to be hooked up. You are not going to have a branch hooked up to the orange tree producing potatoes. I went through a far extreme right there, but some of y'all needed that, all right, because y'all wouldn't even figure it out. Y'all ain't got a clue, all right? Stay with me right here. Ain't going to hook up. Ain't going to have a branch hooked up to the orange tree producing apples. So if you have something that's fruitful and you're hooked up to it, guess what you're going to produce? Thank you. Say that out loud. Say it out loud.
More fruit.
So if I'm not producing fruit, then it is evident that I am not. Man, if I'm not producing fruit, then it's very evident that I am not hooked up. Because if I was hooked up, I'd be producing. Now, before you start thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know how to lead anybody to the Lord, that's not the only fruit we're talking about right here. There's plenty of other fruit to be had in the Christian life and that is needed in the Christian life that many people are missing in the Christian life. Why? Because we're not hooked up. We tell everybody, we can say the words, we can tell everybody all about it, but we aren't hooked up and it's evident in our life because there is no, man, y'all preaching better than I am. Remember what we talked about, what we've been talking about in this Share Your Faith? We're talking about a testimony. A testimony that cannot be denied. You cannot deny what God did for me. You cannot deny what God has done in me. If you knew me, you cannot deny what God has done in me. There is some serious fruit there. I need some help, Michelle. There's some serious fruit there. Say it out loud. There's some serious fruit there. That girl had it rough. Y'all hear me? But God saved me. I got hooked up. I don't mean I'm perfect. But I'm not who I used to be. Why? Because I'm bearing fruit. Not only do we see a purging, cleansing, but we do see a pruning. Is everybody all right? Now listen, we don't like this pruning because we like to think that we know what's best in our life. We like to tell God what He can and cannot do. But there's some things in our life that causes us to be unproductive, even though we're hooked up. Even though we're hooked up. There's things that like to climb up in the vine. I planted a garden this year. I went out there, man. I planted my garden. I ain't gonna say I planted my garden. Let me stop right here. I laid it all out, and Michelle planted a garden. That garden is doing a tremendous job. I have more grass and weeds in that garden than I do anywhere else on my 18 acres. Is everybody all right? I need somebody to help me. I mean, I planted my yard. I got grass in my yard. Man, my yard's beautiful, man. And we man, it's just gorgeous. I planted some centipede. We did some sod. The church done that. We planted some centipede. Boy, it's greened in, man. You just look out my yard right all the way to the pond. Just roll it, man. Just pretty. Right out there, Brother Sheldon, where that garden is. Man, I got grass growing that high. Y'all help me. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's all, hey, we got squash. That's our favorite. Zucchini, that stuff. Man, that's our favorite. Tomato. But we got all that stuff. And here's what, man, there's all kind of stuff growing up in it. Michelle and KK walk out there. Oh, you got a baby squash. There's a baby squash. But there's all kind of other stuff. Stay with me. That's growing up in there. I tell Michelle, I said, baby, you got to get out there. You're going to have to weed that. Michelle said, I tried. I'm just done with it. I can't handle it no more. I'm done. I'm just done with it. Can I get a witness right there? If it's going to make it, bless God, it's just going to make it with everything else is out there. I've gone through. I fertilized the weeds and all the grass in there. I put fertilizer out, but apparently the only thing that's fertilized in that whole garden is the grass and the weeds. Why y'all laughing? Straight out of hell. It's a curse from God on the land because of Adam. Anyhow, I've done all this, but hey, what my point is that there's things around my plants that are causing it to be hindered in its growth. And the only way that Michelle is going to have more than a baby squash is if we get some things out. Stay with me now. I'm done. I got to quit. All right, I got to quit. There's things in your life. God's purging, cleansing, lifting up. He's doing that right now, trying to get you hooked back up. But what you don't realize, or maybe you do realize and you're not willing to submit to God, is that as long as the things on the outside, as long as you allow those things to grow, it's going to choke out any. I'm done. it's going to choke out any fruit that may come. Is everybody all right? So God has to do not only some purging, but he has to do some pruning. He has to do some purging, some cleansing, but he also has to do some pruning. I wouldn't even be preaching this thing if it wasn't for Chip sending me pictures and telling me about him fixing to prune everything. But what I want you to know this too, and I'm done. Not only do we see a pronouncing of identities, a passion for increase, and a process of improvement, but we see the possibility of imitation. If you look at them branches and all them weeds growing up in it, it starts to all, come on, I need somebody to help me. It starts to all get fuzzy. It's hard to distinguish sometimes between what is fruitful and what will be fruitful and what's a weed. So we see in verse number 6, if a man abide not in me. Does everybody get that? He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, we related that to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 when it comes to a saved person. But I wonder how many weeds are in the garden this morning. You have the look. You're in the right place. But there's no, absolutely no way you're producing fruit. Now, some just need to be lifted up, cleaned off, and have some things cut out. But others, come on now. Others, there's a real good possibility of hiding out under the shade of the fruit tree, but will never have any produce. Why? Because they've not abided in him. And if they've not abided in him, then he is not in them. And so the question for all of us this morning is, who are you? Are you a branch? If you're a branch, you ought to be producing fruit. Are you producing fruit? If you're not producing fruit, God sent me to tell you. Sent me to lift you up. Tell you, hey, look here. God wants you to bear fruit. And the way to do that is stay connected to him. If you're not a branch, could be a weed. You're in the right place. You even getting the nutrients that the real vine is getting. I mean, you close enough, I put that fertilizer out, and apparently you can put the fertilizer around the plant, and the grass and the weeds that are 2 miles from the plant will benefit more than the plant. Everybody with me? There's a lot of people that's hanging out in close proximity, but they, I can't preach anymore. Don't come to the piano. If the Holy Spirit ain't working in this one, it's all I can do. Some of you have been in this church for a long time. If you're hooked up to the vine, tell me what's going to happen. Say it out loud. If we hooked up to the vine, what is going to happen? Might be some of us ain't hooked up. Altars are open. Might be some of us ain't hooked up. But yet God loved us so much that he sent a preacher to tell you, hey, it's time. Let him clean you up a little bit. Let him lift you up a little bit. And you'll see some fruit in your life. Maybe you're in here and you say, preacher, I've tried and tried and tried. And preacher, I just don't seem to produce any fruit. Maybe if you got honest this morning, you never was hooked up to the vine. You've been around the vine. You've been in the shadow of the vine. You've been close enough to the vine that you've gotten some blessings from the vine. But you ain't hooked up to the vine. And you're struggling because you're not hooked up. Say, preacher, what does that look like? It looks like this. It looks like somebody that made a decision because somebody else was making a decision. Somebody that said some words because somebody else was saying some words. Somebody that followed along in a prayer because that's what somebody told them to do. But it doesn't sound like somebody that has repented and changed their life. So a head bowed this morning. Nobody's looking around. You come to the altar. Christians ought to be coming to the altar. Because if we're not fruitful, then what good are we? How do we glorify God? By bearing fruit. You want to glorify God? That's why you're here. That's why God left us here. That's why you and I are here, is to glorify God. Herein is my Father glorified, in that you bear much fruit. So if I'm not bearing fruit, then I'm not glorifying God. If I'm not glorifying God, then I'm not fulfilling the purpose that God has left me here for. I wonder who get real honest with the preacher this morning. Say, preacher, I don't believe I'm saved. Boy, that's a tough one to come to. Paul wrote the book of Romans, and the first three chapters he spent getting everybody lost. It's amazing how we'll convince ourselves that we're not lost. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This morning, my question to you, do you know where you spend eternity? If you died right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. I want you to raise your hand right up. Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. I do not know. Is there anybody in the building like that? Preacher, pray for me. I do not know. Is there anybody? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, everybody in the church house is saved. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would work in each and every one of our lives. Lord, I want to be connected with you. Lord, I look at my life and there's things that I wish there was more fruit. But God, I'm not seeing it in my own life. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that I would be more dedicated, more fervent, more diligent, and staying connected to you at all times. Constant communion. Lord, I pray, God, that you would minister through my life in such a way that, Lord, I would be fruitful. Lord, keep me from getting disconnected. Lord, I pray for every person in this building this morning. Lord, we've all professed to be saved. Lord, may we glorify you in bearing fruit.